Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Football Experience, North Carolina Tar Heels 2022 season preview episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. We're also brought to you by IP Vanish. Yes, IP Vanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by SGPN Discord. Yes, make sure to check out our new Discord server. It's the perfect place to interact and sweat out bets with the entire SGPN crew. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord.
Hey, what's up, you degenerate gamblers? This is Bill Burr, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Yes, yes, yes. Woo-hoo. Welcome to the College Football Experience, North Carolina Tar Heels season preview. My name is Colby Swinging Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick, this is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
Oh, Tar Heel football, high expectations a year ago. Well, me and my co-host here, we locked up the under and cashed in on that thing. I am joined by my co-host, the ACC guru himself. Give it up for Rooftop IPA drinking, homebrew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lock given, former Herndon Basketball League MVP. Give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
There we go. What's going on, man?
Just talking Tar Heel hoops and sports and football. I mean, wait, for Tar Heel hoops, subscribe to the College Basketball Experience because they are loaded. Just got Pete Nance, son of Larry Nance, transferring in. You know, NC Nick's here's a Duke fan, so I got to preface it this episode.
Oh, all the UNC fans listening to this, like, are you serious? You brought in a Duke fan to talk UNC? Look, I'll try to be fair. I think I'm a pretty fair and, well, I'm biased, but I try to be fair. And look, UNC basketball is freaking loaded again. I'm very nervous about that.
So subscribe. Yeah. So subscribe to the College Basketball Experience, but this is college football talk. And look, disappointing season 6-7, just 3-5 in conference. We locked it up. The win total was at 9.5 and we were all over the under. That thing cashed. And, but I just heard Mac Brown talk on ACC Media Day. He goes, we were overrated last year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But he goes, I also think we're underrated this year. So if you look back at 2020, 8-4 season, you look back at 19 when they were projected to be pretty bad, 7-6, they were way ahead of schedule then. I think UNC might be a little bit better than what we're thinking just because, okay, last season didn't go their way. You know what I mean? But they've been recruiting at a really high level. You look back at last season, 7-point loss at Virginia Tech in a game that we were on the right side of. A crazy loss to Georgia Tech and Florida State, which I still don't understand what the hell happened there.
Those were baffling.
Yeah.
Baffling.
10-point loss in South Bend. Overtime
owned them lately.
Overtime loss at Pitt, who won the ACC.
That was a tough one.
4-point loss at NC State. They got to get it together. But
and you got to mention the bowl game loss to South Carolina too. I know the Tar Heels aren't going to like to hear that, but that was
they had a bunch of players sit out though, right? I mean, that's always the bowl games.
Hal wanted to play. I give him credit too. I like Hal, but it's still disappointing. But you're right; it's a bowl game, basically a meaningless exhibition.
So what do you make right now of Mac Brown? You know, he's in his 70s. He's sitting there saying, "NIL my ass. I can do this." You know,
I would say 21-17 in 3 years is not what people were expecting, but you have to realize how bad UNC was before he took over.
I was about to say, I was like, I think he's actually kind of done better than what I was expected. Yeah.
Well, I guess it all comes back down to last year because expectations were so high. I mean, it was Hal for Heisman. It was a potential sleeper team for the playoffs. And, you know, week one against at NC State, that, you know, not only did they lose, but they got beat by a very average to bad Hokie team. And that game was just ugly. They just did not look good, you know? So I think that's kind of the bad taste in people's mouths, but Mac Brown is recruiting excellent. He's bringing more talent into UNC in a long time. And you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe it's better to fly under the radar this season where people aren't expecting too much. Maybe you can sneak up on some teams. Maybe they can get that defense to play a little bit better than a season ago. And then who knows, you know, maybe they can have a better year.
Yeah.
Than 2021.
Well, let's hop into it because Phil Longo is back at offensive coordinator. I'm a big believer that he is one of the best offensive coordinators in football. They had the number 10 offense a year ago, 19th in scoring offense, 18th in rush offense, 42nd in pass offense, starting at 10th overall. Look, Phil Longo was the OC for Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss when he was giving Nick Saban all those fits. This guy is legit, in my opinion, at running an offense. I'm actually surprised he's not a head coach. I really am, because I thought he would be a head coach by now. They lose Sam Howell, but here's the good thing. Drake May and Jacoby Criswell got some burn last season. So
Jacoby Criswell, the only burn he got is in that second to last week against Wofford when Hal sat out. So, okay. He got a little bit of burn and Drake May, by the way, brother of Luke May, as some people might know, Luke May from the basketball program a few years ago. And yeah, I think didn't he have a game winner deep in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it against Kentucky? I want to say, both guys are very inexperienced. I know you're kind of high on them. They're talented. Drake May, I think, is like 6'5 or something. Criswell, a little bit more athletic. And they got the freshman, Connor Harrell, as well. But yeah, Sam Howell, big shoes to fill.
Well, I mean, Criswell completed just around the same completion percentage. I mean, Howell was 62.5. I know it was a small sample size, but it's 61.9. At around the same average, 8.5 yards of completion as compared to 8.8. You know, I think this offense is going to be fine. Now
that once again, that was against Wofford.
True. Okay. Well, Drake May completed 70% of his passes. So, I mean, well,
both of those quarterbacks got play, you know, so in that game against Wofford, Criswell went 11-19 for 125. May went 7-9 for 89 and a touchdown. That might've been the only burn they got all year.
Fair enough. Look, Ty Chandler's gone at running back, but fifth year super senior British Brooks is back. You know, he averaged 9.5 yards a rush last year. Hey, how about you get him the ball?
Well, look, I mean, 2 years ago it was Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, and then they got the Tennessee transfer, Ty Chandler. So they've been able to reload at running back quickly. And this British Brooks has sat around a long time. Is he as talented as those three guys I just mentioned? I find that hard to believe. I think he would have seen a little bit more carries if so.
I mean,
still, I think they'll be okay at running back.
9.5 yards a rush. You know, I get it. It was only 300 yards, but still, I mean, when he got in, four touchdowns, 9.5 yards at rush.
Yeah, and he ran for over 100 at NC State in the last game of the season against a pretty good NC State defense when he was getting the majority of the touches that game. So, yeah, I think they'll be okay at running back. No worries there.
So then comes the receiving core, which I think might be, you know, I think you could put this receiving core up with any in the ACC as the best. Josh Downs is back. They got Justin Olsen back. Antoine Green and J.J. Jones. I really think this receiving unit will be nice.
It all starts with Downs. Downs is one. Not only is he the best receiver in the ACC, he's one of the best receivers in the country. So and then you put some other guys around him. Yeah, very good wide receiver group. I agree.
And they're breaking in a new tight end, but I do think he's really talented. Keep an eye out on Kamari Morales. I think he's going to be the guy. I'm telling you, I think he's talented. Just 1 of 5 back on the offensive line. Normally, you circle that and you say, okay, this team's going to have a real step back. I just think Longo's too good at offense. And while keying on the transfer portal, but also the way they've been recruiting. Some of those guys, if anything, he kind of was using the previous, I'm drawing a blank on the coach's name prior to him. Was it Fedora?
Fedora? Oh, yeah.
For those first couple years. No, for those first couple years.
Right.
I think now you got Mac Brown's offensive linemen that are in place to step up that were high recruits, but most of them better recruits than almost everyone in the ACC. Mm-hmm. And they do return left tackle Asim Richards. And I think the portal also brought them a couple pieces.
The line was not very good a season ago. Sam Howell took a beating. He was running for his life. So on one hand, you never like to see 1 out of 4 returning, but those guys that left, they weren't playing that good last year. One of the reasons why everybody was so high on UNC a year ago, granted Sam Howell was a big reason, but also I think they returned all 5 offensive linemen. Usually that's good. Wasn't the case last year. The offensive line definitely underachieved, underperformed. Look, I don't think they're going to be any worse than last year. Get some new guys in there from the portal. Maybe they'll be improved too.
I mean, they were still the 10th best offense in America. So I think their bigger problem, Jay Bateman's no longer the DC. He's a linebacker coach at Florida. They went out and Mac Brown, classic page out of his book. Hey, what did I do to win a national championship at Texas? Oh, I had Gene Chizik as a defensive coordinator, right? Gene Chizik also won a national championship as a head coach at Auburn, right? And so I love the hire of going out and getting Gene Chizik. I really think, you know, say what you want about him as an analyst. I thought he was pretty lackluster as an analyst on TV, but I thought the guy can flat out coach defense, right?
They were the 11th best defense in the ACC last year, and they really had to outscore opponents. So I would say that if the offense this year, maybe not quite as good as last year, they do need that defense to step up. And you might be right. They might have the coordinator to have some improvement there.
Well, look, he was at North Carolina in 2015 and 2016. So he's coming back to North Carolina, but at 2015, 2016, he got the defense to like 63rd nationally. If you can do that with a top 10 offense or even if it's a top 30 or a top 40 right. offense, I think you'll be playing just much, much, much better. And I can tell you, this is what I do like is on the defensive side of the ball. So last year they were 105th in scoring defense. They got to create more turnovers. 97th in rush defense, 84th in pass defense, charting at 94th overall. That's not good, but guess what? They have 8 starters back and from a season ago, and that's not counting what they did in the transfer portal. They're going to be running the 3-3-5 and they have their entire D line back led by sophomore Desmond Evans. Keep an eye out for this kid. Cause I think he's a beast.
I like the two interior 300 pounders, the tackles, Murphy and Vohesik as well.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I think the D line will be solid. Linebacking core, only 1 of 3 back, but I keep an eye out on Power Eccles. Power Eccles, a name that in spring I think really caught the eye of some coaches there, and then 4 of 5 back in the secondary, led by Storm Duck, who was one of the biggest recruits at cornerback.
One of the best names in college football. Also, Tony Grimes, the other cornerback, very nice as well.
And they're breaking in a new kicker, so that's always interesting if you're in a close game. But they normally keep a decent kicker. I feel like we're going to talk transfer portal though. We're going to talk, you know, projections on what Las Vegas expects. Subscribe on YouTube, by the way. We are live on YouTube doing this. Subscribe to the College Football Experience and the College Basketball Experience on YouTube. But yeah, we're going to talk that. We're going to talk Vegas expectations, our own expectations. We're going to go game by game on the schedule, talking Tar Heel football. But first, I got to get us paid. I want to tell you that the College Football Experience North Carolina Tar Heels 2022 season preview episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WinBet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bets today. We're also brought to you by IP Vanish. IP Vanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to ipvanish.com/SGP. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by SGPN Discord. Yes, make sure to check out our new Discord server. It's the perfect place to interact and sweat out bets with us. The entire SGPN crew's in there. So just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We're also brought to you by Dave. Yeah, I mean, look, we've all been in a spot where we've needed some cash on the fly. I mean, maybe you're going over to, maybe you're on a trip abroad in Europe and you're just spending at a crazy rate. You've been drunk for a week and all of a sudden you realize that that you need some more cash or whatever. Maybe you're in Vegas. I have no idea. Maybe your car broke down and you need a, whatever the situation, life, maybe girlfriend, birthday, all of a sudden, shit, she wants to go to this restaurant, more money, right? Well, that's why Dave is fantastic. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. And what's great is there's no interest, there's no credit check needed. You can literally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's DAVE. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member of the FDIC. All right. We are back talking Tar Heel football and the transfer portal. Interesting. The question, you know, it's 2022. So we're going through, we always try to, but like give a ranking for if they won or lost the portal. Yeah. I'm having a hard time talking. And that's a problem on a talk show, right? college football has been batshit crazy. So 3 years ago, we didn't do this. Now we have to grade the portal.
It's almost more important than recruiting, like, out of high school, but no, that's not the case, but it's important.
Yeah. A little bit of both. I mean, obviously like Joe Burrow for LSU, landing him in the portal was the reason why they won a championship.
It depends on the program too. Some programs, you know, gravitate more towards the portal. Some don't. UNC appears to be one that is going to be very active in the old transfer portal.
Well, they went out and they brought in defensive lineman Jacoby Cowan from Ohio State, cornerback LeJohn Cavalos from Ohio State as well. So a couple Buckeyes coming in. They also, they did lose some production, but they also got, I think this one's huge. Noah Taylor, a linebacker for Virginia, is one of the Virginia's best defensive players the past couple of years. He is going
to
be
from UVA to UNC. What
evil,
are you doing, man?
Evil. Come on. I mean, I have something for that because that is just, what the hell is that? I mean, that's the oldest rivalry in the South. What is happening? But either way, I think he's going to really help that defense because linebacker was the one spot where you kind of said, huh, but yeah, you add him to the mix, a guy who's very experienced in the ACC. They also offensive line problems, Corey Gaynor coming in from the Miami Hurricanes. Once again, coastal to coastal,
right?
ACC transfers. I think the Ohio State guys will probably make a difference. And then they went out and got an Ivy League offensive tackle in Spencer Rowland. Man, I mean, so they kind of address the offensive line. They address the linebacking core, perhaps in the defensive line and secondary with the Ohio State guys. They did lose some kicker, Tijan Linderink to Liberty. Running back, 4-star Kamaru Edmonds to East Carolina. There we go. Safety, Cameron Roseman Sinclair's in the portal. Athlete Alex Nobles is in the portal. They also lost linebacker Travion Stevenson. He went to Norfolk State. Wide receiver Steven Gosnell went to Virginia Tech. Cornerback Trey Morrison went to Oklahoma. Linebacker Tyron Hopper went to Missouri. They also lost linebacker Eugene Asante to Auburn. Wide receiver Bo Corrales to SMU. He was a pretty good player for them.
A couple years ago. Yeah, I think he missed all last year with an injury.
Yeah. Yeah, they also lost Christian Varner to Georgia Southern. Emory Simmons to Indiana, Josh Henderson to Indiana as well. Another running back for them. Coffee Brown. That was a guy I thought was going to be pretty solid. He ends up going to South Florida.
I think he's the little brother of Dynami Brown.
Interesting. And then also defensive lineman Clyde Pinder to South Florida. Overall, they did lose a lot.
And one thing I like to look at too is like, where are they transferring to? If they're transferring to, you know, like a couple of guys went to like Albany or Norfolk State. Well, those guys weren't playing, but they actually have a lot of guys that are transferring to big schools like Auburn or Missouri,
Oklahoma. Yeah, Virginia Tech. You
know?
Yeah.
So some of these guys got playing time, you know, is definitely it's depth, it's talent, but I also think that those guys also saw the recruiting class that Mac Brown's bringing in.
Yeah.
And they knew that, you know, they might be, you know, playing for minutes, trying to find minutes. So maybe that, you know, was their decision. I think overall a lot of faces coming and going, but I kind of like the pieces they brought in.
Yeah. And so I would say slight win. Now recruiting wise, they're actually short of Clemson. Them in Miami really would be the I think right now, based on this season, North Carolina would be the second most talented team from a recruiting standpoint.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at 24/7 sports in 2022 recruiting in the ACC, UNC is number one.
Yeah.
I mean, and we can just quickly do the Mac Brown years there. If you go to 2021, you're talking about UNC, who was the number three team behind Clemson and Miami. And then the 2020 season, UNC was number two with Clemson number one and Miami number three. So there you go. Every year, top three, Clemson, UNC, Miami, depending on the year, depends on who's top, you know, who's second, who's third, but very good recruiting, definitely.
So if you're watching on YouTube, you see the sweet ass graphic behind me here. Shout out to the SGPN graphics team, but we got the win total up there. 7.5 wins is what Las Vegas is expecting from the Tar Heels in 2022. Now the juice is -135 on the under, +115 on the over. Blindly, Nick, would you say that's a little too high?
Well, I think it's placed at a good spot, but I'm thinking under. I'm thinking they only won 6 regular season games last year, and we have a question mark at the quarterback position and a question mark at the offensive line position. Let's not forget UNC brings back 63% of their overall production, which is 49th in the country on offense. So 114th, only 49% of the offensive production. So, yeah, defense, a lot of people coming back a little bit better on defense, 26th best in the country. But those guys weren't playing very well a year ago. So they need the defense to step up. What? I'm going to say, looking at it without the schedule, I would say 7.5 might be tough to get to.
Well, look, I came in thinking I was liking the over. I was surprised at the number. I thought it would be more at 6.5, 7.
Yeah.
But I came into this thinking, oh, this is a rebound year. But then you pull up the schedule and you see they have 3 sets of back-to-back away games. 3.
And they can't blame the ACC completely because the first back-to-back road games is against 2 Sun Belt teams. That's insane. I mean, give UNC a lot of credit for scheduling those teams and the willingness to go on the road to App State, to at Georgia State, but it's a tough little schedule.
To give the folks an idea, the University of Oklahoma over the past 10 years have played 1 back-to-back away game. LSU in 10 years has played 3 back-to-back away games, 3 sets of them. Georgia in the past 10 years, three sets of back-to-back away games. Clemson, only five. Only five in 10 years, and you're doing 3-1 season. Let's hop into it. Week zero. They do have a little bit of an advantage here. Week zero, the Florida A&M Rattlers come into Keenan Memorial Stadium. 1-0, right?
Of course.
Well, week two, they head up to Kid Brewer Stadium in Boone, North Carolina.
Wait for this game.
Dude, this
sold
game,
out already.
This game is on at the same time as NC State hosting. I'm sorry, East Carolina hosting NC State. The Carolinas to kick off the season. Whoa.
Love it.
How about this? I think they lose at App. What do you want there?
I agree.
The very next week, they head to Center Park Stadium in Atlanta, where Terry Pendleton used to hit dingers, right? and I got them, since they lost to App, I think they win this one. I think they're going to go 2-1 in the first three games.
They whipped Georgia State last year, 59-17 or something like that. I don't have it in front of me. But those are two tough road trips. Last time App and UNC played was in Chapel Hill a couple years ago. App State won that game. I'm going to give that to the Mountaineers as well, but they do rebound and knock off Georgia State on the road 2-1.
I agree. They get a bye week, which I think is
early bye week.
I think it's a smart bye week though, because
it's timing wise, the next opponent nice, but usually like to have that bye week a little bit later in the season.
No, they have another one. They have another one on October 22nd because they play the week zero game. That's
a good point.
Yeah. So, I actually kind of like them as a live dog against Notre Dame, who lost a lot. Now Notre Dame's recruiting is, what am I thinking of? What Freeman, Marcus Freeman. Marcus I almost said Freeman. Josh Freeman, the quarterback of Kansas State. he's recruiting his ass off. However, they got to play Cal that week. Then they got to hit the road to Chapel Hill. I kind of like North Carolina as a live dog being this battle tested thus far. In at home against Notre Dame.
I just know the last couple of times they played, Notre Dame's been the far more physical team. And I don't think that's going to change this quickly for Mac Brown. I think the physicality is still on the side of the Fighting Irish. Those games haven't even been that close. I'm going to go Notre Dame.
How about this? Between Notre Dame and Virginia Tech, I got them winning one of those.
That's fair, because I do think they turn around and they beat the Hokies the next game. So I have them at 3-2.
I have them at 3-2 as well. Then they travel to Miami, Florida. And I if you go listen to our Miami preview, this was one of my hardest games to forecast. Because first off, North Carolina's had Miami's number lately.
They have.
They are just as talented, if not more talented. This is a interesting spot. Miami does have a bye week the week before, and I think I leaned Miami because of that. But this is a true 50-50 game to me, and I think it's essential for the overbetters here if you can grab this dub.
Yeah, I think it's key. I think if they win this, and I think an over probably looking pretty, but I'm going to lean Miami here. You mentioned the bye week. Just the quarterback play, Cristobal doing things with that offensive line, getting that to improve. This is a very interesting game. Should be a lot of points scored. Should be a fun one, but on the road, I'm going to lean Miami, which puts my record at 3-2? No, 3-3 actually. 500 right now.
Yeah, and look, I got him. If you listen to Miami, when I said it's a toss up game, but give me Miami, so I'll give that as a loss. So then I have him at 3-3. But then they're at Duke, Wallace Wade Stadium. The rivalry continues.
Mike Elko is going to shock the world. The second of the back to back, the Duke Blue Devils at home. No, I'm joking. They're not there yet. UNC wins this one, gets back above 500.
Yes. They're 4-3. They get a bye week, and then they host Pitt. Upset special. Look, I almost pulled the plug on Notre Dame. I almost pulled the plug on Miami. I didn't. On those being the upset, this is the upset. They should have beat them last year. They beat them in Keenan Memorial. That's my upset for the Tar Heels this year.
We're locked up so far. I agree. I don't know how much of an upset it's going to be. We'll have to see how Pitt's looking so far.
But yeah, so this time it's UNC coming off the bye, getting the Panthers at home. I like for them to grab this one. I agree.
So I got them 5-3.
I think I'm right there with you.
Then they're at Scott Stadium taking on Brennan Armstrong. Bring the fireworks. I think they're better than Virginia.
I agree. They get this one too. I don't know what to expect from Virginia. I mean, they do have Brennan Armstrong, but that might be it. So I think UNC, they've done pretty well against the Wahoos. I think they can win this one too.
All right. So that puts us at what?
6-3.
Yeah. And the remaining three at Wake Forest, these games have been bananas. Make sure to listen to our DFS show because I made a lot of money in this game.
Yes. A couple of years ago, right?
Yes. Yes. This was a fantastic game when it was back. I mean, the past 2 years have been just batshit crazy. I lean Wake. But man, this is I don't feel comfortable with it. I think North Carolina.
So far, we have UNC winning every of the second of back-to-back road trips. This is the one where they drop it. They lose to Wake. It's gonna be a crazy game. It's gonna be high scoring. Wake Forest pulls it out at home. Some Sam Hartman magic. You know, last year was Hal for Heisman. This year, how about Hartman for Heisman?
That's true.
Give me the Demon Deacons here. And that is
59-56, double overtime. Wake Forest wins, I guess. Then they're home to Georgia Tech.
They exact revenge from last year, beat the Yellow Jackets.
And then they're home to NC State. I think I'm on the over on this team. I think they're going
to the under. They actually they've been losers of three of the last four games at home to the Wolfpack. This is it, man. This is your over under. This is the rivalry. I'm going to go Wolfpack actually.
Yeah,
7-5. I'm on the under.
I like the over. And I actually think even when you pull up, they're losable. Like I get it. That's crazy to have three sets of back-to-back away games, but at least they get that, like these two bye weeks in there. So it's kind of like three chunks of a season.
And look, I mean, we had one of the losses at App State. I mean, UNC's favorite in that game. I haven't seen a line yet, but I think they'll be favored by a field goal or 4 points or something. They could beat the Tucson Belt teams. I mean, that's not crazy, right?
So I don't even see a flat out for sure loss on the schedule. Now,
no,
obviously,
I agree.
Yeah,
I mean, the best team they play is probably Notre Dame. They miss Clemson, or I guess you could say NC State. The best two in Miami. Those are the three best teams, right? Notre Dame, Miami, and NC State. And I had them losing all three, so just win one of them. Win one of them and you probably have an over.
I know it sounds crazy with three sets of back-to-back away games, but I kind of like the schedule, the way that they like, okay, that was crazy to do the Sun Belt thing. If you can survive that.
Yeah.
Getting Duke on the second end of a back-to-back and then Wake Forest, who Kloss is doing an unbelievable job, but they're more talented than Wake Forest. I kind of like this schedule. They just got to survive the first the App State Georgia State games because then I think they're actually a live dog against Notre Dame. I think they're more talented than every other team minus Miami. I think they're more talented than NC State.
I would say there's lots of paths to an over, and here's your main two paths. Like I said, win one of those big three games, which two of them are at home: Notre Dame at home, NC State at home, on the road at Miami, or beat both Sun Belt teams. You know, and then I think you have some pass to an over. But with all that said, they just lost too much. I'm not sure who the quarterback is. I'm not sure how the quarterback's gonna play. And I still have concerns over the offensive line, and that's enough for me to go under.
I like what they did defensively hiring Gene Chizik. I think Phil Longo will have this offense rolling. I like the over, and I actually like their value as a potential winner of the ACC.
Hey, it's a coastal, man. I mean, why not? Anybody can win it.
I'm trying to get us odds right now on to win the conference right now. Not the division. I'm talking about to win the conference. Because imagine a scenario where NC State or Wake Forest is in the ACC championship and it's not Clemson. Even if it is Clemson, does Clemson have enough offense to stay with the Phil Longo offense? North Carolina at plus 1500 to win the ACC.
Do you have odds to win the Coastal?
Yes, I do. To win the Coastal, it is plus 400.
Okay, so probably obviously Miami's a favorite to win the Coastal.
Pitt is second, so it goes. They're projecting Miami, Pitt, then North Carolina, then Virginia Tech, then Georgia Tech, then Duke.
What's the odds on Miami?
+160.
That's not good enough in the Coastal, yeah, man. Anything can happen in the Coastal. I like that +400.
Me too. I like it, folks. Hop on in. Subscribe to the College Football Experience. I'm on the over. He's on the under. Folks, if you can get over to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, we'd certainly appreciate it. If you do that, take a screenshot. Show us that that 5-star review on Twitter at the Colby D. That's my personal account, or you could do it from the College Football Experience on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. NC Knicks on Twitter at NC_NICK. Patty C's on Twitter at Patty C831. We are the College Football Experience. Subscribe, tell a friend. Also remember, subscribe to the College Basketball Experience, because we're doing some season stuff right now, and it's going to heat up in a couple weeks. So we talk college basketball year round over there. We talk college football year round over here. And also I host the College Baseball Experience with Noah Beanick. UNC keeps a decent baseball team. Back to the days of Walt Weiss.
We've checked out the stadium. Remember that?
We have. And the football stadium. Yeah. So, I think you'll dig all those. And also the Sports Gambling Podcast. Check them out. We just had Pat McAfee on the show, Mike Leach on the show. Just want to make sure you did check out. They're already doing NFL stuff. Carolina Panthers, they just did their preview. Check that out. I think the Redskins are coming at some points. Check out those. Or any other teams you like, Jacksonville Jaguars, Atlanta Falcons. I don't know what team you root for over there in Carolina. All right.
How about the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, there you go. Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. All right. And PJ Walker. They got a nice little quarterback situation going on there. Didn't they draft one too? I feel like they might've drafted one. Okay. But anyway, I think they drafted Matt Corral. Didn't they? I think they did.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So they got just a stable. Who knows who's starting over there? But check out the Sports Gambling Podcast for that Carolina Panther preview. Folks, subscribe to the College Football Experience. Check out the Discord channel. It's always fun to talk stuff. We're no matter the sport, we're in there. It could be fucking sumo wrestling in Bangkok, and I'm sure we got you covered. Check it out. All right, folks. This is the College Football Experience. North Carolina Tar Heel style. You better start thinking about yours, and we out of here.